Before we go, however, and take a plunge into this beautiful, beautiful well of love, let's go before the throne of grace in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus, for this Lord's Day, for these beautiful songs that have these inspiring words. But most of all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. We're your children. We believe that, and we praise you for it. And our desire in these moments as we draw from this deep, sweet well that drink will become a part of us and build us and nourish us, that we be more powerful witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And as we're gathered together in fellowship to close this Lord's Day, we thank you again for these refreshing moments, and that you would give strength to the lips of your unworthy servant as we contemplate your precious and holy word, and help us, Lord, to understand it and use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, we have had, what, three or four messages from the Revelation. And I always give my disclaimer. I've only been studying the Word, 55 years, I think it is now. So I'm still, my Bible still has training wheels. I know that. I would not bring a message on prophecy for over 20 years for the simple reason that I didn't think I was ready, A. And B, I certainly did not want to be classified with all these guys running around with these sensational messages on prophecy, frightening everybody as though the Great Tribulation period is right here and we're all enduring it at the moment. I appreciate that very, very, very first time I ever heard that beautiful word, rapture. Heard it on the radio. I just happened to be turning around and there's this beautiful, engaging voice who began to say, I would like to tell you this morning about the rapture. And that was the first time I ever heard the word. And I grew up in the church. And I just become a Christian, however. And that little 10-minute message was such a blessing. And as the music is playing and they're going off and I'm wondering, tell me who that is. The announcer said, thank you, John Bramall, for bringing us a message on the rapture. That was your daily devotional program at WPTF in Raleigh. Well, since then, it has stirred me every time I hear the word. And it's not one I take lightly or ever use just to excite people. But it is exciting. And you can't understand the Revelation without understanding the rapture, because it's all, most of it there is going to take place after the rapture. In the, three or four messages that we've had on the Revelation, I just felt that I should just stop for a while, and I know I'm speaking to well-taught saints, and kind of look at some things that will help us to unlock its meaning. I have announced that I believe there are three important keys to understanding the Revelation. One is Matthew 24, which we considered last time. Two is Daniel 9. And three is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which, Lord willing, and with your permission, we'll just kind of read through this evening. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul had given the Thessalonians a heavy dose I mean a heavy, heavy dose of teaching, including teaching on prophecy. And you'll pardon my language, because my view of these guys may be a little different than yours, and maybe yours is a little more loving than mine, but some bohunks had weaseled in with some teaching on the subject that is much like some of the bohunks that we have weaseling around today with these sensational messages that seem to somehow, once they bring them, increase the size of the offering. Or the price of the tape that he's selling. It's a serious subject. I take it seriously, and I want to understand it, and I'm sure that you and I are approaching it on that basis. One of the important keys in understanding the revelation is 2 Thessalonians, because they needed some teaching on the subject. And fortunately for us, what he is using to teach them, we have. And as always, what I'd like to do is just slowly read through and let the Word of God itself teach us. But if we remember this, it is a book of precision. And what we are reading is after the rapture. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Don't you love that phrase? Our gathering together unto him. Oh, beautiful, wonderful, glorious. That's why it excites me. You know what he's talking about there? The rapture. When in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, beloved, we're going to be with him. That you be not soon shaken in mind. He wants us to be at peace in our mind. The teaching of the Word of God rebukes us to be sure, disciplines us to be sure, but we're not to be shaken in mind. We take God at his word. Don't be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, we're in the middle of the tribulation right now. That seems to be the drift of the teaching that they were getting. Not so, says Paul, and he uses a phrase here, which I'm going to rely on John Wolford's definition and pass it along to you. The day of Christ includes that period of time from the rapture through the millennium. It includes blessings. It includes judgment. But remember, that phrase says that the Lord Jesus Christ is in command. The day of Christ, Christ's day, it belongs to him, that period of time. The age of grace is over. The rapture has occurred. And many things are happening with great speed. The day of Christ is at hand. Right now, we're in the middle of it. Not so. I think we're on a razor-thin edge before the rapture. I believe that signs point to that. And coming events cast shadows, and we certainly see many shadows. We just praise the Lord for our blessed hope and that beautiful word rapture. That beautiful moment is about to occur. When? Don't know. But I look for it each and every moment of the day. Remember last time we were speaking the Lord, when he was asked the question about when will this occur, when shall these things be, and so on. The first thing he said in answering the question, but don't be deceived. To me, that said, you must start at the top with don't be deceived, simply because there's going to be a lot of guys who try to deceive you. And with their theatrics and smoke and mirrors and all the tricks that they have to loosen your pocketbook, give you a good jarring. Paul here, I believe, received exactly the same, in my opinion now, exactly the same information that you and I shared in Matthew 24. He received it by divine revelation. So he starts with the same thing the Lord started with. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now remember, we're now clicked into the period of time. The day of Christ, the rapture, has now occurred in Paul's narrative here. The rapture has occurred. And that time, that period of time, the day of the Lord will not come. You cannot say, this is it. It shall not come, please excuse me, except there come a falling away first. A falling away first. Now, I'm going to apologize, and I don't often do this, but I've got something that is said, cough it out. So, if you'll just pardon me a second. And if I had a spare, I'd offer it. Please forgive. Forgive me. The falling away. The falling away is a part of the day of Christ, the great tribulation. You recall during our timeline, we projected a timeline so that we could all see in rapid succession things that would happen. The rapture. And now, as Paul is presenting it, there will immediately come a falling away. Does that mean a theological falling away? Yes. Does that mean a religious falling away? Yes. Does that mean things are just getting out of gear? Political-wise? Yes. Does that mean governments will start losing their grip on people? Yes. Will there be more anarchy? Yes, there will. There eventually will, but the falling away must come. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And that man of sin be revealed. What man of sin? The son of perdition. That man of sin, the son of perdition. Now, as you know, this is the one that I call Mr. Wonderful. He will not be revealed until after the rapture and during that period of the falling away. Things are going to be all lovey-dovey and sweetness and light for 3.5 years. But Mr. Wonderful is going to be very upset because after the rapture, my guess is, he and the unholy people around him, including everybody on earth at that time, are going to be terribly upset by these two pesky preachers that are going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I've given you my opinion. I think they're going to be preaching everywhere to the entire world. How in the world would they do that? How about satellite television? This is going to upset Mr. Wonderful something fierce. And so he's going to put a contract on them. He's going to say, I want these guys and I want them killed. And they're able to fight back with spiritual firepower that he doesn't know anything about. And so it's going to be a tough job to get these two pesky preachers, but he does. And he's so proud of it, they're going to be shown on television worldwide for 3.5 days. Now that the pesky preachers are out of the way, Mr. Wonderful is going to go into the temple and he's going to reveal himself as Mr. Mighty One. Look, I've I'm the one to be worshipped. And when he reveals himself as that, that's in right in the middle of the great tribulation period. And too late now, no turning back now. That's when guns are fired, bombs are dropped, and the great falling away is now evolved into what will be the greatest conflict this world has ever seen or ever will see again, and would destroy all flesh were it not for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the man of sin will be revealed right in the middle of that 3.5 period after the rapture, in the middle of this falling away, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I need to tell you that not everybody believes what I'm going to say. I mean, conservative preachers. As you know, I believe when it says he's going to be in the temple of God, it means the temple of God. It's going to be rebuilt. And if I can believe news reports that I've been reading for many, many years, the funds exist. The fundraising has already started, and the funds exist now for the building of the temple. Priests are in training to be priests even as I'm speaking. Again, if we can believe the news reports, I believe they're accurate. The temple will be rebuilt. The sacrificial system will again be will be inaugurated. It will again be the practice of priests to perform their priestly duties in the temple. But in the middle of the tribulation, Mr. Wonderful says, "That's it, fellas. That's it." So as a part of the treaty that is going to be negotiated by him, he's going to say, "That's it. It's over. No more sacrifices," and that would have been a part of the treaty, see. But now he himself is going to place himself in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Blasphemy, to be sure. But remember also, we're now in the great falling away portion of the day of Christ. Don't you remember verse 5, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Paul has given them, as I said a moment ago, a full dose of very heavy teaching. They receive teaching on this, and they should be anchored to his teaching, not the bohunks that weasel around trying to pull their sensational acts and preach otherwise. And now, this is verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now that was in the day of Paul, and I can say, I think, with the authority of the Word of God, since it existed in the day of Paul, that it is rampant now. The spirit, the mystery of iniquity, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now this, of course, at the rapture, the church, the body of Christ, with the Holy Spirit indwelling each one of us, that's he that letteth, taken out of the way, raptured. And that's why it is a time of great delusion. If it's a time of any greater delusion than we have now, I'm glad I won't be here. And beloved, every time I ever offer any word on this portion of the Word of God or any of these things, I always try to remind us, we will not be here. Very important that we see that. However, we must be prepared for that moment when he says, come up here. For that moment and the twinkling of an eye when we will be gathered unto him. We must prepare for that moment. So right now we have a restraining factor. After the rapture, no more restraining factor. The time of great delusion, the time of great deceiving, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. So once these things, these wheels start in motion now, the rapture has occurred, the great falling away has occurred, he has revealed himself to be that wicked one who wants to be worship his God. When that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now you see, this is a part of the spiritual warfare. Mr. Wonderful is imbued, empowered, possessed of Satan himself. So this spiritual warfare that we are in right now is going to culminate at this point right here. And you'll notice that since it is a spiritual warfare, it is by spiritual means that he will be finally conquered. The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, the glorious thing about that, if I have a correct understanding of this line, the brightness of his coming, that's the second coming to earth. That's the second coming to earth. Not for the saints, with the saints. And that will be all for Mr. Wonderful, and the one that is empowering Mr. Wonderful, the Antichrist, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there we are by his side, and the brightness of his coming. Spirit of his mouth. What a moment. Who? Even him, verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yes, there will be miracles. Oh, yes. Signs, lying wonders. We must never forget Moses' encounter with Pharaoh showed they're capable of coming forth with what seem to be miracles, at least. Could be a way of deceiving. I'm not sure whether these are going to be real miracles or just trickery. If you watch television, some of these magic shows, I used to. I don't watch them anymore. And the reason I don't watch them is because the root of much of what is called magic is darkness. I know I sound like an old-timer, but parlor tricks are one thing. And yet some of those parlor tricks, like the Ouija board, lead to very, very serious occultic practices. That's why I'm only speaking for myself. Throw rocks at me if you desire. I don't watch these shows anymore. But they are just one great deception. They are to deceive you. So that what I'm saying is, I'm not sure they are real miracles, but they certainly seem like them. And I know this, they're going to deceive the people of the world at that time when we will not be here, but the events of what is called the Great Tribulation period. But it will culminate with the brightness of his coming. Spirit of his mouth will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all the deceivableness. I you know, have a little trouble saying that big long word, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Unrighteousness does deceive. Satan does deceive, and he's still in the deceiving business. You know, a thought I had some time ago. Satan never presents himself as who he really is. You know, sometimes he's an angel of light, sometimes a roaring lion. He wants to frighten you, and we should be frightened. We should be aware. We should be aware. The only time that Satan presented himself as he really was, remember, the Lord Jesus. No deception there. But even then, he had the gall. Is that the word I want? He had the gall to think he could get the Lord to worship him and to deceive him. But he presented himself as he is, as he was, as he is. middle of verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And while this is speaking of the great tribulation period, it is the same thing today. Satan is in the deceiving business, and when a heart hears the gospel and is convicted by the gospel, he always slips in and has something to say. I've talked to a lot of people, including myself, because when that moment comes that you hear that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, and that's the only way I can be saved, well, now, you're not such a bad guy. You know, I'm a nice guy. I go to church every Sunday. I'm describing myself. I did. All my life. I was baptized, sang in the choir. And the moment I heard that I was a sinner and needed to be saved, it was a jarring moment. Yours might be something different. The person you're dealing with might be something different. It might just simply be that you're hung up on a word. On a word. I can remember hearing of this incident. I was not one of the brethren who was there. But there were a couple of the brethren from Grace Chapel went over to Bill Wilshire's house to witness to him. This has been some years ago, of course. He's the violin player. I don't know whether he was there today or not. Were you at Grace Chapel today? Yeah, but I don't know whether he was there or not, but Bill Wilshire's the violinist. And he was hung up on a word. He was hung up on a word. I mean, he was just telling these brethren no. Every time they'd want to draw the net, he would say, no, I don't understand. I don't understand. And he was hung up on a word. And one of the brethren, Bill told me this, said, now, Bill, I'm going to read John 3:16, and wherever it says, I want you to read it, and wherever it says, whosoever, put your name in there. And he did. For God so loved John Smith, Elmer Jones, Bill Wilshire, whoever, whatever your name is, put it there. For God so loved Richard Beyer, Tom Brown, that he gave his only begotten son, that if Richard Beyer, Tom Brown, Elmer Jones, Bill Smith would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was there when he died. My sin was, and he died for my sin. Salvation is a personal thing. Well, Bill was hung up on a word. I was hung up on being a good guy. What do I need to be saved for? I belong to the church. I sing in the choir. I'm there every time they have, once a month, they have a big cleanup day. Yes, I'm there. I signed my pledge to give X dollars. Did all the right things. And yet, I'm a sinner. And yet, I was a sinner. I was hung up on that. But I praise the Lord that I was agitated only for a few minutes. And then I was overwhelmed by his love. The reason that he did all of this for me, and the reason that he's doing all of this for you, is that he loves us. Don't deserve it. I don't. Maybe you do. I don't. No, none of us do, really. But he died for our sins. Don't get hung up on a word. I mean, when you... I just take it for granted that everybody here knows the Lord. But if you don't, or if you're not absolutely certain, and for years I listened to the gospel, I listened to sermons, I'm not sure how much gospel was there. And then over and over and over again, I had to come to grips with the fact that while I'm a pretty good guy, there's something still gnawing at me. Because I have a mental block. Don't have one. Don't have one. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Frightening word, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. You want to be frightened? Read that phrase over several times. For that cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. A lie was the old saying, a lie has wings, the truth has leaden feet. And the word of God seems to indicate that there will come a time, and this is it. People rather believe a lie than the truth. And even now, you can dress up a lie with all kinds of bells and whistles and goodies just to get your mind away from the truth. Well, while that's happening now, remember what we're reading now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a time of great delusion, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. Oh, Paul, come on now. Where's your power of positive thinking? We don't preach like that these days, Paul. Who believe not the truth are damned. That's what Paul says. And remember, he's saying it by divine revelation. But they take pleasure in unrighteousness. That's an awful period of time. Time of great delusion. And one of the things that I praise the Lord for constantly is that I won't be here. And these very sweet moments you and I have together as believers around the Word, around the person of Christ, I praise the Lord again for His goodness, His mercy, His love, and that we have the Holy Spirit that leads us to an understanding of His Word and guides us to all truth, that we will not be deceived into the realm of unrighteousness that Paul is speaking of. During that period of time, called the Great Tribulation period, is what is when much of the revelation will occur. And as I said, the reason that I thought we should look at Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and next time, if the Lord wills and it's okay with you, we'll look at Daniel chapter 9. Three important keys in an understanding of the book of the Revelation. In the meantime, I praise the Lord and look forward to His soon appearing. Our Father, thank You for these moments together around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and Your precious and holy Word. And now, warm our hearts with that beautiful thought of how much He loves us. And He loved us and gave Himself for us. Empower us as we proclaim that glorious message that He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures for our sin. And now we thank You again for these sweet and lovely moments at the end of this Lord day. Dismiss us. Go with us. Lead us to some soul today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.